stars above you, and longer if I can. How long will I need you? As long as the seasons need to follow their plan. As long as you want me to, and longer by far. How long will I hold you? As long as your father told you, as long as you can.
Good Friday morning, folks. What do we have? About 10 days of absolute cold weather, minus 25, minus 26, and more. I think we're setting a record for longevity. But right now, it's first of all, you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM here at the University of Winnipeg, and you're listening to the Hope Valley of No Address show. Come to you live. Sometimes archived for the last almost 10 years now. And we're always happy to be here. We have a guest coming on. They'll be here in a few minutes. But meantime, it is minus 23, and it's gone up a few degrees, minus 26 this morning, minus 29 with wind chill earlier. And the wind chill right now is, I can't see it, minus 31. Okay. That sounds about right for Winnipeg this time of year. Again, we're setting kind of longevity records for periods of time over minus 30 at one point in time. But thank you for tuning in. And we are going to have a young gentleman named Casper Harper on today. He's a young adult who spent time on the street, and we're going to talk about his times out there. How have you been coping with the cold weather? Me, not well. I spent a lot of time inside and not venturing out and doing Zooms instead of live meetings. And of course, my computer broke down in the middle of Zoom. I haven't for what, 3 days. I got to pick one up tomorrow. But we're in the new year, and again, you know, there's talk now again about the harm reduction again this week for folks needing help. And, you know, I would really like to hear about your thoughts on this. And you can email me at albelieve27@gmail.com. Or actually, you can call. What's the number, Debbie, to call here while we're waiting? It is 774-6877, 204-774-6877. Talk about the harm reduction thing. But, you know, we've had such a tough time, and I haven't heard the numbers yet. But for me, it's how many people have died in this cold spell when we have minus 30-degree weather? And so many people are have an aversion to shelters. And they prefer staying in camps. And And it's, you know, we know we lose a lot of people, and I'm just, because this cold streak has been so long, and the community is trying so hard to keep people in shelter and housed and warm, it's really, really tough. And they are trying to do their part, but it's some people just don't want that. And, you know, I'm down at the library these days fairly often, and I'm seeing, you know, folks that are living in camps coming in and, like, literally shaking because they've been so cold and not being able to get the warmth they need in their little tents and stuff like that. And I know that, you know, there's so many struggles and so many issues that the city and the province are doing in regards to the homeless sector. And this gentleman was removed from a camp, and he came back 2 days later to the same spot. And it just shows that there's somewhat of an incompetence going on between the city and the province and their homeless solutions. But, yeah, we have to keep working on it. Oh, you don't have a microphone, do you, Debbie? No. but, sorry, I'm just at a bit of an odd loss here. But, you know, being downtown and down the library several times a week now, I'm seeing so much violence down there, and it's really discouraging. We've had a person pull out a knife. We had a person pull out a gun and point it at somebody. We have people in psychosis screaming and running at people. I actually had a person turn on me, and I didn't even know he was talking to me and screaming at me until I turned around and think I was advancing towards me. You know, and people are, and it's not only people in psychosis, but it's people who are going through stress and trauma of poverty these days, and the increased cost of living and the increased cost of groceries and cigarettes and being able to just make it through every single day. It's not people on the street that are losing it. It's people and going through the stressful and trying times. It's other folks. And you see this every day at the library, which is really disconcerting. And it's very sad, but this is our society today, and I'm not sure how to change that. Debbie, do you have any thoughts on the poverty these days, how people are reacting to it?
I think it's a time of multiple stressors. Like you were saying, there's just not just the day-to-day costs of living, but I think we're pretty stressed out by what's happening in our communities and in our continent and in the world around us.
I do too. You know, and there's, there are so many outside influences. You know, even I think for me in particular too. I'm not in the best frame of mind all the time now because of what's happening in the United States, and it gives puts a cloud over my head. Even that there's so many outline. Oh, sorry. Yes, we're just gonna move a mic over here.
Sorry, folks.
There are so many outside influences on everybody's life these days that just can't. People are having a tough time coping, and the healthcare system. And I have a relationship with the healthcare system here in Winnipeg, and people are seeing more and more mental health issues come up. And my friends at CMHA, I've talked to them, and the problems people are talking about, who never have had problems before, or their mental health issues are being raised, for so many more people. And it's a tough life to begin with, and society is kind of, I'm just feeling it, I'm seeing the numbers, and we're kind of not going in the right direction right now. And you deal with people who are newcomers to the country?
Yes. And I think you know, because there's problems all over the world, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes this is still a refuge, a safe place for folks.
It is.
I mean, they have to learn to deal with the weather, of course.
I'm having so much difficulty with the weather.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah, when we get a cold spell that lasts as long as we've had, it is tough, right?
It is. Yeah. And, you know, and it just affects, so many people have, what's it called, in January, February, they are affected by...
The darkness of the winter,
yeah.
Like the seasonal affective
seasonal
disorder?
Seasonal affectiveness mm-hmm. disorder. So many people are having trouble with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a similar thing, and you know, person I care for, Char's been going through a difficult time, and I actually had to come down on the healthcare system on a care team at the hospital. You know, Char's been going through a difficult time with a illness to one of her mental health animal, and for about 6 weeks now, and so just last week the care team at the hospital decided to reduce her medication at the very wrong time, and I made a problem. It's happened before. We're just talking mental health now, but as a caregiver, I've been ignored for years, it seems like. They make decisions, critical decisions, like this was to lower meds for a person with schizophrenia and PTSD without consulting me first. And having her go through a really bad time right now, the totally wrong time to do that. And, you know, all it does is create chaos for myself and Char, and harm to myself and Char, because I live through vicarious trauma and how everything changes in the apartments. I think it's irresponsible behavior, and so I'm making a very strong move to change policy at this point in time. I've contacted the health minister and a few of the top people within the Dubuque Change Shared Health. I just don't know how they can actually do this kind of thing without consulting with me first. And we had this argument with her previous nurse practitioner about last year. And they said, well, no, it wouldn't happen again. But here again, they did it again, and exactly at the wrong time. And they said, the white cells are apparently affected a little by some of the medication. Okay, but talk to me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And make a joint decision on this thing. And my point was like, I'm a 24/7 caregiver for 12 years. The doctor sees her once every 3 months, if that, maybe once every 6 months. The nurse practitioner sees her once a month, and they know better than I do. And I found that totally a reckless practice. And so I'm hoping by this week to have a serious conversation with somebody about it. And again, when Char goes into these funks, I'll say, or these periods of time where the voices become really loud and abusive, I really suffer from that as well, because everything changes, and I just have to bear with it until it passes, and sometimes it can be a long time. But reducing medication without consulting the caregiver is, I think that's not great.
So that's one of the many stressors that people have sometimes, is just trying to get a care plan if they're seeing specialists for mental health or for whatever that makes sense, and navigating that whole maze of the healthcare system.
Yes, and it's I think it's critical not to actually involve the caretaker or the caregiver. So, you know, my thing is, okay, from here on out, you're not going to harm me. This is a harmful move. From here on out, you're not going to harm me. You're not going to harm Char. But if you want me to do this, I've saved the province hundreds of thousands of dollars, because her responsibility fell on me when it should have been on welfare. And I've made that sacrifice and paid out of my own pocket to support this person. And you're telling me that I'm not important? What if I just...
Not to mention the savings in healthcare costs. Al, I'm thinking that we might just turn to some music, and I'm going to check the door and just make sure our guest isn't waiting for us here.
Folks, we've just got a little, not dilemma, but just a little adjustment to make here, because our guest did not arrive. But stay tuned. Come on back, and we'll come up with some creative things to talk about.
Thank you.
And that was Oscar Peterson, the trio, their old album, A Jazz Odyssey. And the piece was How About You?
Thanks, Debbie. Yeah, appreciate that. And you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM right here at the University of Winnipeg, your community radio station. And you're listening to the Hope Valley of No Ad Duress show. One of the things that is coming right up is Fun Drive. And maybe I'll let you lead the discussion on this one, Debbie.
Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, we're looking forward to connecting with our listeners about Fun Drive, because people probably know that we only do this once a year for a couple of weeks, and it is a major source of funding for the station that keeps it going, and there's so many good things. But and you've been on this program, you said, almost 10 years.
Yeah. This is my ninth, I think. And, I can't believe I first started out on Monday mornings here doing some community show, and then the station manager asked me if I wanted my own show. And so we bounced around a couple of time frames, and we finally came up with this one. And I've been on this, I think, for 8 years now, of the fixed address, Friday mornings at 11. And, you know, I do appreciate your listenership, and I know I have listeners, because I get emails once in a while from you, and it's encouraging to get those. I would say 95% are really positive, but I also enjoy the ones that are critical, because you learn from those and what people, you know, what people are thinking. But, you know, you make this station run. You make the station happen with your donations, and every year I'll get 5 or 6 donations from people who I do not even know, and which is really rewarding, because that just means that people are listening to the show. And Fun Drive, I mean, I can't say I'm fond of Fun Drive. I'm an old sales guy, and I should be really adaptable to it, but I always find it difficult at times to get that. But, you know, you've given me a successful show, successful Fun Drive season for a good many years.
Right, and then, you know, if people want to get a head start on that, they can always go to ckuw.ca, and Fun Drive is the first thing on there, and they'll give you a link to fundrive.ckuw.ca if you'd like to make a donation now.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You can
awesome.
Do it in honor of this show or any other show that you like and listen to.
Absolutely, but while you're listening to the show, may as well contribute to this one. we need it just as much as everybody else, and or else you can put in a plug for your show.
Sure. Well, I'll do that later.
Okay. Yeah. You know, the station does not run without you, and it's critical that we receive donations. And we were just talking about poverty and the difficulties of the economy these days, the price of food and housing and everything else. But we really, really, do need your contribution. And I think, you know, minimum, what's the minimum, Debbie? Or is it anything?
I'm sorry, I was thinking about something else for a minute. I missed.
What is our minimum donation?
Oh, $35.
$35.
Gets you, I mean, any amount is welcome.
Yeah.
But $35 gets you a friend card, and we're happy to recognize that.
And
you can always just donate for a tax receipt as well.
Sure, and if you want to just chip in $5, if that's all you have, that's fine too. We appreciate every single dime. And we've been on the show for going on 10 years now. That's a long time. It's and every once in a while I say, well, maybe I'm done soon. But, you know, when I'm a person with lived experience of homelessness, and that always tugs at my heart when when I want to maybe pull the plug, because nobody else does this. And it's and I'm all about bringing awareness about homelessness and poverty, and this show gives me a platform to do that. And I have wonderful listeners like you and a wonderful producer like Debbie, who's always there and huge support for me. And both Debbie and yourselves keep me going on here. We're actually just filling the time right now because our guests didn't show up. But
you were going to talk a little bit about some of the self-defense training.
Oh, yes. Interesting, because I'm doing a little bit of work for True North. They've offered me, and I'm down at the library, they've offered me to take a two-day self-defense course, because we're seeing weapons being used, exhibited down at the library, and in the downtown area we're seeing knives and guns, and they just feel that it's good to be well armed, so to speak, with a defense mechanism. And I kind of agree with that too. And apparently it gets really physical when they're doing this, and the joke was that, well, only 30% of the attendees come out alive. But it's very interesting to be able to do this and give yourself a little bit better chance. I don't get fearful down there, but with what I see every day and people going into psychosis and screaming and yelling and running at people, I'd say this last week, three incidences where if there hadn't been security guards around, there'd have been trouble. And so, you know, this is the shape we're in these days. Not only homeless people, but people living in poverty as well, not adjusting to the trauma of experiencing poverty that they never had before. And trauma of poverty is huge. And I found it many times more traumatic than homelessness, because you have responsibility of rent, of food. If you have animals, you got to feed your animals and your partner and look after everything. And sometimes, even today, life gets really, really stressful. And it's such a harsh, harsh thing. And we've seen more and more people downtown and coming in for food, right? Do you have a sandwich? Do you have water? Do you have drinks or something like that? And probably 30 times a day, you know, it's really tough. But how do we make this work? It's really hard. But we were talking about defense, and I think it's just a good mechanism, you know, to protect yourself. And if you learn something out of it and it helps one incident, well, that's good. And the irony of this is I trained the police department, and now I'm being trained by the police department. So it's really, really interesting. Right, Debbie?
That's great. Yeah. Nice turnabout there.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, we're halfway through already. Fund Drive is really important for the station, and I hope that everybody can, you know, find couch change even, and we'll take that, or beer cans. You know, well, not beer cans, because then we got to go cash them. but if you can, donate whatever you can is great. And, again, we could talk about the Human Rights Symposium, and I've had to make a few minor adjustments, but it is a symposium that started 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, because someone in our system said that human rights for the homeless don't matter when it comes to hoarding and bus shelters. And I felt, as a person with lived experience, okay, if their human rights don't matter, then neither do ours. And so I had to do something about it. So I came up with the idea of a human rights symposium, and Debbie was an immense help in that first year, because we put this together in 10 weeks. And putting together a symposium, a gathering in 10 weeks is not that easy. And it was pretty trying, pretty stressful. But we did it, and we had so many people talk about their experiences on the street, people who lived experiences on the street. We had mental health. And again, once again, we're opening, and again, this is a really big opening act, if I can use that term, of Marion Cooper, who's the now national CEO of the Canadian Mental Health Association, and Shana Mankus, who's the CEO or executive director of Sarah Riel, and that's what we're opening with, and two very powerful people, and really looking forward to have them, you know, come in, and of course a lived experience panel with some really good leaders in the community and people who are on the top side of things and exemplify leadership. And I felt that, you know, I needed to have a team of people, our panel of lived experience people, who actually had major accomplishments and were in leadership positions, because we're still seen many, many times as second-class citizens. And so doing everything we can to kind of upset that apple cart and turn things around there. My keynote speaker, again, who I'm really, really proud to, and I hate using that word proud, but really happy to have, is Christy Pearson Pollard. She was a co-chair with her husband of the United Way campaign several years ago, and I got to know her then. And this is a person who is wealthy. But every single day, she is down at 190 Disraeli, and her organization called Linking Hope, gathering massive amounts of clothing and other things that the homeless people need out there. Does not have to do this, but this is her calling, and I'm so thrilled to know Christy, and she will be a really inspiring keynote speaker this year. But I'm also thinking about having two, and I've talked to Samia Sadiq, who is part of who runs Narratives, a human rights organization, and she is a dynamo. I don't know if you ever heard of Samia Sadiq. Yeah, and she has her detractors for sure, but her and I have become close friends, and she's a really, really powerful speaker. And so I'm thinking about adding her to the roster, because I've had one or two cancellations. But I've had some people say, no, you can't have her on, and that kind of thing. I'm still kicking that one around. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm going to just pass on saying anything there.
Awesome. I would expect you to do that, actually. University of Manitoba Human Rights Master's Degree Program graduates, who's now working with the City of Winnipeg in community development. From Bruce Oak, the executive director. He's speaking on addictions, and on. I can't even remember half the speakers.
People are interested in learning more about the symposium, can you say the date and how they would get in touch with you?
Yes, finally, April 13th. And you can get a hold of me at Al, and it is invite only. We're up to around 240 invitees right now, but people always cancel it as well. But you can get me, you can text me, ALBELIEVE. 27, the digits, at gmail.com. That's ALBELIEVE, the word believe, 27 at gmail.com. You can, that's my email, of course. You can text me at 204-960-0335. If you are a person that might like to present, or a person who is really interested in human rights, so poverty and homelessness, which are the two biggest issues today, I think, and please get a hold of me. And if you are a presenter and you'd like to present, I may have room for you. And so I think that I'll just look up some of the other speakers. Oh, yeah, we have one of my favorite speakers of all time, one of my favorite people in the city, who was the manager or director of the Equity and Diversity program at the city before that department was unexpectedly or inexplicably canceled. Bradley West, who was a founder of the Pride Parade way back in the day. And he's a brilliant speaker. He speaks with his great Australian accent. I call him an encyclopedia, because I can never leave a table with him, because he knows so very much. And let's see, who else do we have? I can't even remember. We have about 15 speakers altogether, which is too many probably, but we have several panels. I have one of the most important ones is the directors of all four shelters in Winnipeg, the executive directors and CEOs of all four shelters in Winnipeg, and speaking on the homeless situation. And Myers-Norris-Penney has a gentleman that's going to be the moderator for them, and he knows a little of his stuff, but I'm meeting him again soon. And it's going to be a really, really good a good day. I usually don't pay that much attention, but I think this year I'll probably pay a little bit more attention to what's going on during the course of the day. Give me a call, give me an email, give me a text, and talk about if you're interested in coming to the events, and we'll put your name down on the invite list. And I still have to kind of go over that and make sure I contact everybody to put their names down to come. And I'm speaking again with the sponsors next week and making sure everybody's online and all that kind of stuff. But it's going to be a good day, April 13th at the Canadian Museum of Human Rights. And give me a shout if this is interesting to you, and it's received so much media attention. I've had all the media outlets there each year, and it's, going to be a good day to look forward to. Again, I think we'll put on another CD right now, and we'll come back to end the program in a bit. Take care. That was once again Oscar Peterson, the Canadian jazz icon. I think you could call him that. I was just going to go back to the symposium and some of the speakers I found on my list here. We have Molly McCracken, Manitoba, I guess, CEO of the Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives, which is a real political, I would say, activism organization, I think. Is that a good way to describe the Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives? Molly McCracken. And my graduate from the master's degree program is Trixie Melbutin, who's now with the city of Winnipeg, and a really, really intelligent young lady who carries human rights in her heart with her everywhere she goes. Again, Julian Atkins, CEO of Solom. We have Frank Parks of 190 Disraeli, or Dinaway Mac. Mark Stewart, unfortunately for Salvation Army, is now in New Brunswick, so he won't be there. But the new, we're going to approach Mary, who's the new interim CEO at Salvation Army. We have Jamil Mahood from Main Street Project. And so, you know, this is a powerful table, and speaking, you know, about the people who really make a difference in this city in the area of homelessness. And Nathan Merchants from Myers and Penny will be the moderator for that event. And so, you know, Ralph Cerezo will be on my lived experience panel, and he was a major project manager for Boxtel Construction, and people would never have thought that he'd spend time on the street, but he, you know, came from Spain and had a tough time in early years when he got here. And you know, not a lot of people know that. He's a extremely good person and a good heart, and he's got a real passion for the business. And Monica Ballantyne, the lived experience coordinator at Shalom, will be on our panel as well. It's just going to be a good day. Maya Durham Graham is going to be one of my chairs. He's the community development person for the MLCC, and she's got a good, vibrant personality, and she'll be one of my chairs for the day. I'm still working on the other one, but Kat Roberts, who was with West Center Women's Center, is going to speak on poverty, and she's a young dynamite person, and is a really, really powerful person to talk on poverty. Mayor Gillingham will open for us again this year, and so will Mr. Smith, the housing and addictions minister for the province. So, you know, it's going to be a really, really good day. And so, you know, let me know if you want to come. And it's always a powerful event. And the mayor, first year, called it the human rights event of the year, and something that the city always has to support, which is nice to hear, because he always does, right? He's a good supporter of the program. And I have to thank all the sponsors that we have, too, because without them, it doesn't happen. I have to change my model. I allow everybody in for free because sponsors pay for it, but I also know that I have to change that model for people that can afford to get in. And, of course, lots of people get in for free still, but the ones that can't afford to, everybody's telling me, you got to charge them. It's not your responsibility to lose money on anything like this. And so with you, and we'll have the CKUW banner there as well this year again, and because I know these supporters in a big way. Again, folks, what I usually say, we're coming to the end here pretty soon, but we've had a string of days, 7, 8, 9 in a row, where the temperature is minus 25, minus 30, consistently and continually. If you're going to Tim's, if you're going to Starbucks, you're going to Robin's, anywhere you're going for something hot, steep tea or coffee, please buy an extra one, because it's really important. That my question is, how many people have died during this stretch? You've been on the street. You know, it really bothers me to think that, because people say, how did you survive your winters out there? I survived a winter that was colder than this with minus 50, 60 wind chills. I have no idea how I survived. You know, I have a memory loss about a lot of that stuff. I think that's what trauma does to you sometimes. It takes away your memory. I have no idea. All I remember, what I do remember, is the pain of frostbite and having frostbite all over my hands and my cheeks and my feet, toes frozen, but no hypothermia. I did not sink into that deep sleep, and somebody was looking after me, I truly believe, because you don't survive this stuff without that kind of help. Any thoughts, Debbie, on anything I've said here?
Well, I think your voice is really important on this station, and I'm really glad for all the folks who are listening today. And we look forward to checking in with you again during Fun Drive next 2 weeks. And
yes, and also, I have a request. I have somebody really good in mind now, too, but if you know an Indigenous leader who's a good presenter and speaker, let me know. Because, I've had Jason Whitford, the CEO or former CEO of Ben Homeless in Winnipeg. 2 years ago, he's left. I know if I asked him, he'd come on again. He's with another organization. I know where he's at. But I think it's time to get a new Indigenous leader and speaker in the community. And if you know somebody and you like them and you've heard them speak, and point them out to me, and so we can have a conversation. It's really, really important that I have more Indigenous people in the symposium, because this is our city, and 75% of the folks on the street are Indigenous, and 90% of people living in poverty are Indigenous in our city, and that's a shame and overrepresentation of what it should be. So if you know somebody, email me or text me, and we'll be really, really happy to speak to them.
Give that contact info again?
Yes. It's my phone number for text or calling is 204-960-0335. My email is albelieve27. The digits at gmail.com, and I'm available on Facebook and LinkedIn. Just look up Al Weave, and we'll connect. I just feel so sorry for folks on the street right now, because I went through it, and many mornings I'd wake up with an inch of snow on my blanket because the windows in the car I was sleeping in were cracked and broken. Wind came in, blew snow in, and I had to brush all the snow off just to get. It's most unpleasant, and waking up and just even moving after spending a night when it's minus 30 out is really, really difficult, and you have to move. But I would make my way up to at 10 o'clock, if not, go to a soup kitchen to get a coffee. But I'd go to, if I changed my pocket, I'd walk right up to McDonald's and buy myself an 88 cent senior's coffee, which I could get at the time, or go to the casino at 10 o'clock and sit around there to warm up for a few hours and have free coffee out of the free machines there. And I was resourceful, and so many people don't have that, because of the trauma of addictions, staying with people and the trauma of mental health, not being able to figure things out like I was. I feel so sorry for folks like that, and yet they receive so many discriminatory remarks and actions from the people in this city. Please don't be one of those. But if you're going into Tim's or Starbucks or McDonald's or anywhere, if you're at Porty's Place or City Place, and you're seeing somebody sitting there without, before they get kicked out, which happens every single day when I'm there because they have nothing, give a person a coffee or a tea and let them sit for a while, because I see security being really, really tough on people who are just sitting there. And they may not be homeless, but they may look like it, and so they get discriminated against. But be kind, folks. And come back next week, and we will have interesting guests on. I've got several options as well going for me, and I think we have maybe a person here from the University of Winnipeg that Debbie and I were talking about, a real leader here, and she could talk on human rights. and which is really important for me. And I'm not going to give the name in case it doesn't work, but you'll be really, really happy with our guest next week if she comes, but I have several more options. It's not always easy getting people on the show. Sometimes you have five or six lined up, and you might land two of them because, you know, conflicts of time and all that kind of stuff. And people, and I always tell them, it's just like you and I talking, except you're on the other side of the desk with a mic in front of you. But folks, come back next week and, you know, really, really be kind. I think our cold streak is ending right away. Tomorrow, I think, it's going to be -8 instead of -25 or -30. So, but please be kind and donate if you wish to, you know, Agape Table, Lighthouse Mission, the smaller people. Really need your help as well. They get overlooked so many times by the Main Street Projects and the Shaloms. So I think it's really important to look after the smaller groups that that really need your help as well, like Sunshine House, for example. They do so much, and Rainbow Network, they do so much work for the LGBTQ population in our city, and they are so discriminating. And so please give when you can. And take care, folks, and come back next week. Bye for a visit. Thank you.